In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we continue this evening with the parish mission. The first evening we talked about salvation and how this is a must for each and every one of us. Because if we don't save our souls, all is lost. We lose everything. The second night we talked about sanctification, how this is what we should be doing, not striving for the bare minimum of just squeaking our way into heaven, but of developing in our soul the full flowering of grace and becoming the saints that we ought to be. So these last two nights, I'm going to talk about really what could be considered the two pillars of the spiritual life. That is, devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary and to the Holy Eucharist. You may have heard of the vision of St. John Bosco, right? When he saw the church in the image of a ship, okay? And the captain of this ship, of course, was the Holy Father. He was at the helm. And so the waters, the seas were turbulent, and there were attacks being made upon the ship, the church, by enemy ships, signifying all of the distress and trials and difficulties that the Holy Father and the entire church must deal with, these rough waters that must be navigated through. And so the Holy Father saw off in the distance two pillars. One pillar had a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the other pillar had on top of it Sacred Host, okay, the Blessed Eucharist. And by bringing the ship, the church, to those two pillars and anchoring one side to Our Lady and the other side to the Blessed Sacrament, the church was saved and protected from all her enemies. And so it really is, we can say, these two devotions, devotion to Our Lady and to the Blessed Sacrament, which saves the church. We can say likewise that it saves every individual parish. Okay? The life of the parish will be as fervent as the Marian devotion that is present and the Eucharistic devotion that is present. And so thanks be to God, we find that in this parish. And we can also say, just as all parishes make up the church, the same thing with every individual soul, okay, every individual member of the church. These are the two anchors, the two strongholds that should be present in the spiritual life of every single Christian. And so tonight we focus on the Blessed Virgin Mary. Tomorrow night, the Blessed Sacrament. Now we must first note that devotion to Our Lady is not optional, but it is essential for Christian spirituality. Pope Paul VI said, if we want to be Christian, we must be Marian. Okay? Whereas devotion to the other saints really isn't obligatory. In fact, the Holy Spirit will inspire souls in different ways. Right? Certain souls will be drawn to St. Therese of the Child Jesus. Another soul will be drawn to Padre Pio or St. Brendan or whoever the saint may be, the guardian angels, okay, the archangels. All of these devotions are according to the individual inspiration, which we should freely follow. But devotion to Our Lady is essential to Christian spirituality. Now, why is that? Well, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means to be a follower of Jesus Christ and to imitate His life. And there was no greater devotee of the Blessed Virgin Mary than her Son, true man and true God. Of course, he observed the fourth commandment perfectly. And so just as he honors his heavenly Father, so he honors his earthly mother, bestows as much glory and honor upon her as he possibly can. And so this is why Our Lady is really called the quasi-infinite. Okay, she's finite because she is a creature, right? But she is the quasi-infinite because Almighty God has poured everything out into her. Now, we should note that devotion to Our Lady is also a great sign of predestination. We don't know who is going to be saved when all is said and done. Okay, all of us sitting here in this church, our salvation is not yet secure. There have been revelations given to certain saints who have been promised heaven while they were still here in this life. Right? For example, the children of Fatima. Right? When Our Lady appeared to them, they asked, "Will we go to heaven?" And Our Lady said, "You will go to heaven. Okay? In fact, I will be taking Francisco and Jacinta with me very soon." She said, "Lucia, you must stay in this world a little bit longer." She ended up living a long life, so that's how time is registered in heaven. But they were promised while still here on earth. They were guaranteed heaven. Right? That is, they were confirmed in grace. Okay, they were guaranteed heaven, that they would not fall away and die in mortal sin. Now, that is a rare gift given to certain souls. The great majority of us, we don't have that surety, that absolute knowledge. We have hope. Okay? We have hope. And it is a sure hope if we do our part and persevere. Now, notwithstanding, we don't know for sure. God, of course, knows. And there are also signs, okay, which are indicative whether this soul, in fact, will be among the elect or not. And one of those signs, says St. Alphonsus Liguori, is a devotion to Our Lady. Right? If a soul possesses devotion to Our Lady, that is a sign that in the end, they in fact will be saved. All right? Now, we can extend that sign with regards to our sanctification. That is, the more profound that devotion to Our Lady is, the more authentic, true, tender, filial, okay, the more pervasive that devotion is in the life of the soul, the greater the sign that that soul will attain to a high degree of sanctification, right? So this is why we want to do our part to cultivate devotion to Our Lady in our own lives. Again, for our salvation and for our sanctification. So first of all, we want to correctly understand who Our Lady is. Right? We see how Christian doctrine makes a difference. Right? Our doctrine, the truths of our faith, serve as the foundation for our spiritual lives, for our devotion. If our doctrine is true, correct, solid, right, then our spiritual lives, our life of piety and devotion, will also be true, correct, and solid. And so we want to first have a proper understanding of who the Blessed Virgin Mary is, because there are various currents of theologians who are throwing all kinds of ideas about Our Lady, and really many who are minimizing Our Lady and her grandeur and her role within the church and salvation, and as a result are doing a lot of damage in the life of devotion. Okay, remember, doctrine has practical consequences in the life of devotion. So we want to understand precisely who Our Lady is. Who is the Immaculate Conception? Remember, at Our Lady's apparitions at Lourdes, Saint Bernadette kept asking, "What is your name? Who are you?" And finally, Our Lady answers, "I am the Immaculate Conception." Right? That is very similar to God's response when he gave Moses his own name. Moses was asking, "Who shall I say sent me?" when I am asked. And Almighty God said, I am sent you. I am who am. And so Our Lady responds, I am the Immaculate Conception. Notice she doesn't say, I am she who was immaculately conceived, as if the Immaculate Conception were simply an event that took place in a certain period of time. But she identifies herself, her being. I am the Immaculate Conception. And that is a profound mystery. Saint Maximilian Kolbe, great Marian saint, used to simply repeat those words in his meditation. He used to ask Our Lady, who are you, O Immaculate Conception? Now, we should humble ourselves and our poor intellects and recognize that we will never be able to fully understand who Our Lady is. That's how great she is. I was mentioning yesterday that no one, not even Our Lady, will ever be able to fully understand who God is. Even when we have the face-to-face vision of God in heaven, there will always be an element of mystery, because God is infinite and our minds are finite. Now, notwithstanding Our Lady is a finite creature, listen to what the bull, Ineffable God, which is the promulgation of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, says about Our Lady. It says this. This is 1854, okay, the promulgation of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, written by blessed Pope Pius IX. He says this: far above all the angels and all the saints, so wondrously did God endow her with the abundance of all heavenly gifts poured from the treasury of His divinity, that this mother, ever absolutely free of all stain of sin, all fair and perfect, would possess that fullness of holy innocence and sanctity than which, under God, one cannot even imagine anything greater, and which outside of God, no mind can succeed in comprehending fully. Right. That statement right there says an awful lot about who Our Lady is. No mind outside of God, that is, no angel, no saint, even when we are in heaven for all eternity, will we ever fully understand who the Immaculate Blessed Virgin Mary really is in her fullness. There will always be an element of mystery. That's how great she is. She is the quasi-infinite. Okay, if we want to speak in terms, we could say she is almost God. Okay, of course, we have to qualify that in a certain manner of speaking. Of course, between her and God, there still remains an infinite distance. But the fact is, she so far surpasses all of the angels and all of the saints put together. Okay? We should not imagine that she is just the common Jewish girl who happened to be chosen by God. That is not true. Okay? She is like us in the fact that she is a pure creature. But there is more about Our Lady that is not like us than is like us. Right? And this should not put a distance between us and make it difficult to relate to her, but this should endear our hearts and sentiments more towards her. Okay? To understand the fullness of the love that she really has for us as our spiritual mother, it is incomprehensible. She loves each and every one of us, particularly, individually, with more motherly love than all of the mothers in the world could ever love us. And this is the reality. And this should bring great joy to our hearts, of course. Our Lady is the woman of sacred scripture. She is the Immaculate Mother and Queen. She is the woman of sacred scripture. This word woman runs from Genesis to Revelation. Genesis 3:15, when God says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between your seed and her seed." Galatians 4:4, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman." John 2:4, when our Lord, wanting to identify his mother with the woman of Genesis and the woman of Galatians and Revelations, as we'll see, calls his own mother, "Woman, what is that to me and to thee?" At the foot of the cross, "Woman, behold thy son." In the book of Revelation, "A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars." So we'll look a little bit more closely at each of these passages to see what it can teach us about who Our Lady is. First of all, Genesis 3:15. God puts enmity between the woman and the serpent. Now we know that can't refer to Eve because she was already conquered by the serpent. So this is the prophecy, okay, the proto-evangelium it's called, the pre-gospel, the first announcement of the Redeemer and his co-redemptrix mother, the enmity between the serpent and the woman. Now this enmity is total, complete, absolute. We refer to this scripture when we talk about the Immaculate Conception. That is, Our Lady never had any dialogue with the serpent as Eve did. There is no dialogue, there is no friendship between Our Lady and the serpent, but there is complete enmity, and she is the one who crushes the head of the serpent with her son, cooperating with her son in the work of redemption. Blessed John Paul II says this about Our Lady in his encyclical, Mother of the Redeemer. "Mary, Mother of the Incarnate Word, is placed at the very center of that enmity, that struggle which accompanies the history of humanity on earth and the history of salvation itself." You see how Our Lady is at the center of that enmity. Now, since she is conqueress and at complete enmity with the serpent, we want to be close to her. She is the one who is victorious, and she will also bring us to victory. Now, the Immaculate Conception should be understood in a negative sense and in a positive sense. All right? Our Lady was conceived without original sin and preserved from all stain of sin, all personal actual sins. Now, this is a special redemption. Our Lady still calls God her Savior in the Magnificat, right? The Magnificat that we'll be saying shortly says, "My soul rejoices in God my Savior." She was truly saved, but in a manner that is different from the way that all of us are saved. Right? God chose one, his Immaculate Mother, to save in a special way, and that is by means of a preservative redemption. Okay? He did not let her fall into the mud before cleaning her up. Right? Whereas all of us are cleaned after the fact. We contract original sin and we are cleansed by the waters of baptism. Our Lady, as Blessed John Duns Scotus will say, is the perfect fruit of the perfect redemption by a perfect Redeemer. There was one who God chose to redeem in this most perfect manner, that is, a preservative redemption. So Our Lady, immaculate, and the word immaculate means without stain, but so that's the negative aspect, but she's also the full of grace, as the Archangel Gabriel salutes her, "Hail, full of grace." You notice that that is another substitute for Our Lady's name, the full of grace. So she possesses the fullness of grace right from the moment of her conception. Now, the fullness of grace that she possessed from her conception also grew in an exponential manner during the course of her life. Because during the course of her life, she continued to perfectly cooperate and correspond with grace and practice the virtues always and everywhere to a heroic degree, because she was the docile instrument of the Holy Spirit. Another description of Our Lady that Saint Maximilian uses is he calls Our Lady the quasi-incarnation of the Holy Spirit. All right, now we need to understand that properly. It's not to confuse Our Lady with our Lord, who is the real incarnation of the second person of the Blessed Trinity, right? There's only one person in Jesus Christ, and that is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Now, with Our Lady, there are two persons, right? The Blessed Virgin Mary and the Holy Spirit, two distinct persons. But the union between these two persons is so perfect that Saint Maximilian calls her the quasi-incarnation. She is always and everywhere moved by the inspirations and motions of the Holy Spirit. And so for this reason, Saint Francis calls her the spouse of the Holy Spirit. This term spouse is meant to indicate this intimate union between Our Lady and the Holy Spirit. So she is the full of grace, always moved by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and this all being referred in Genesis 3:15, where there's the total enmity with the serpent, and she is the exact opposite of what we find in Eve, who gave ear to the serpent, dialogue, friendship, and disobedience to God, whereas Our Lady has nothing to do with the serpent and complete obedience to the will of God. Now, in view, Our Lady was created immaculate in view of her divine maternity, so that she could become the worthy mother of God. Galatians 4:4 again says, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman." Now, this is significant because God did not have to send his son in this way, right? Through a woman. He didn't have to give his son a mother. In fact, it would have been reasonable to send his son in other ways. Right? St. Paul talks about our Lord as being the second Adam. Now, the first Adam was created from the slime of the earth, okay, the dust of the earth. And so wouldn't it have made sense to form the second Adam, the Redeemer, in the same way? Or, since our Lord comes down from heaven, couldn't he have just materialized a body as he came down from heaven and took his body from the elements of the air? Sure, he could have. That would have made sense too. But in God's perfect plan of salvation, he chose from all eternity that his son be born of a woman. This is significant. So our Lord is the new Adam, and Our Lady is the new Eve. As Eve cooperated in the fall of the human race, and Adam had headship, Eve's role was secondary, dependent, subordinate in the fall of the human race. So Our Lady, as the new Eve, has a real role in the redemption, but it is secondary, subordinate, and dependent on the new Adam, Jesus Christ, her son. So she is co-redemptrix in the work of redemption. She's co-redemptrix in bringing to the world the Redeemer, okay, the flesh of Jesus Christ, his human body, which was the instrument of our salvation, was given to him by Our Lady. His flesh comes from her flesh. She is therefore the Mother of God. And being the Mother of God, she is the mediatrix and co-redemptrix. We see her role as mediatrix already at the wedding feast of Cana, when through her mediation she obtained the miracle of the changing of the water into wine and introduced our Lord into his public mission. But she's above all co-redemptrix at the foot of the cross. Okay, when she makes the offering of her son, and she offers with her son her own mystical crucifixion, the sword passing through her own soul, and she obtains with her son all of the graces of redemption. Remember how I talked about the gates of heaven being opened, right? Our Lady cooperated in that, actively participated in obtaining the graces of redemption and opening the gates of heaven. Then there comes the, what's called the subjective redemption, that is the distribution of those graces once acquired. So this is Our Lady continuing her role as co-redemptrix and mediatrix of all graces. And she does this from heaven. She continues to be our spiritual mother from heaven, the woman clothed with the sun, distributing all the graces of redemption to souls. All right, so we see why it's important to have Marian devotion, in the fact that we are followers of Christ and Our Lady is therefore our spiritual mother. But as I said, our salvation consists in what? That we die in the state of grace. Our sanctification consists in what? The development of that grace in our soul to an eminent degree. Now, since Our Lady is the mediatrix of all graces, if we want grace to increase in our soul, we need to have devotion to her and ask her for graces. So, on a practical level, what does it mean to be devoted to Our Lady? Well, first, it means to pray to her, especially the rosary. And just about at every single apparition of Our Lady, what did she say? Pray the rosary at Lourdes, at Fatima. In fact, at Fatima, every single month when Our Lady appeared, from May to October, she told the children, pray the rosary, pray it every day. And so, if you aren't already praying the rosary every day, I encourage you to begin. You know, maybe with just a decade every day. And the rosary, when we hold the rosary in our hand, it's like holding Our Lady's hand. And every time we have the rosary, we should always think of ourselves as holding on to our mother's hand. And by praying at least a decade every day, we maintain this contact with our spiritual mother. The Angelus is also another wonderful way to keep contact with Our Lady throughout the day, morning, noon, and evening. The miraculous medal and the brown scapular, okay, these sacramentals, right? In fact, I mentioned about receiving graces from Our Lady. During this apparition of the miraculous medal, there were the rays coming from Our Lady's hands and coming down to the earth, okay? But not all of the rays coming from Our Lady's hands reached the earth. And St. Catherine Labouré asked Our Lady, you know, why is it that some of those rays don't reach the earth? And Our Lady said that those rays represent the graces that I want to give to souls. And the ones that don't reach the earth are the ones I want to give, but nobody asks for. Right? So you see how every day one of our prayers should be this: Blessed Mother, give me all of the graces that you want to give me today. And we will see, practically speaking, the great progress we make in our spiritual lives. Right? Our Lady takes her role as spiritual mother seriously. If we commend ourselves to her, we will see in a concrete way improvement on a daily basis. Another way of practical devotion to Our Lady, we should have images, sacred images in our homes. Right, pictures of her Immaculate Heart, statues, etc. Right? These are very effective and very important, especially for children. Right? Remember, everything comes into our mind through the senses. Right? If we have images and statues of Our Lady at our home, those are sacramentals. Our Lady will communicate graces to our family through that. The devotion recommended at Fatima of the first five Saturdays. Again, Our Lady promised the grace of salvation to all souls who practice the first five Saturdays. Finally, to conclude, I want to mention the most perfect devotion to Our Lady, which is that of total consecration, right? To consecrate ourselves entirely to her. What does that mean? It means giving ourselves as a gift, a complete gift, all of the powers of our soul and body, our whole life, death, and eternity, our merits, our good works, everything we give to her as a complete donation. Now, what does this do? This opens the channels of grace to their maximum. When we're baptized, we do become sons and daughters of the Blessed Virgin Mary. There's no doubt about it. And she already begins her role as spiritual mother, mediating graces for us. But when we perform this act of total consecration, do you see how we are employing our free will? We are giving Our Lady the maximum liberty to do with us whatever she wants, without limit, without condition. And so we open that channel of grace to the maximum. And by doing so, we can arrive at the greatest degree of sanctity possible in the surest way, in the easiest way, in the fastest way. This is the teaching of the saints, and this is also the teaching of the popes. In particular, Blessed John Paul II. Again, in his encyclical, Mother of the Redeemer, he says this. Now remember, this is an encyclical for the whole world, for the whole church. He says, "I would like to recall among the many witnesses and teachers of this spirituality," that is the Marian spirituality that he taught in the encyclical, "the figure of St. Louis Marie Grignon de Montfort." He mentions this to the entire church, like this is the Marian spirituality for the whole church, no exceptions, who proposes consecration to Christ through the hands of Mary as an effective means for Christians to live faithfully their baptismal commitments. All right? So, and really, this is also the main apostolate of our institute, the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate, is to bring Our Lady to souls and bring souls to consecrate themselves to her, because that is the best way to ensure our salvation and a high degree of sanctification. May Our Lady obtain this grace for each and every one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.